Okay, we're going to do it now.
I'm sort of a master of distraction. And welcome back to Distraction. We have a very special episode. We're in episode 60, and I am your only host of the evening. Jordan is taking a break. We're all trying to take breaks, kind of make sure we keep ourselves fresh for episodes, so we're always ready to go. We welcome on Patricia and Owen this week. So, hi guys, how you guys doing?
Hey,
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing great. So what you guys are both here for, why you guys are here, is a little debate. And we were going to record last Tuesday for September 29th, which was the Breaking Bad series finale, September 29th, 2013. So the 7-year anniversary. But the debates were happening and we all wanted to kind of make sure we're all informed. So this week we were having a Breaking Bad debate. So I'm going to be your moderator and you guys are going to be arguing if Breaking Bad's a top 5 show. So no one hates the show here. We're just arguing kind of tomato, tomato, pretty much. So we're going to get to that later, but, and we'll find out who's on whose side. You guys can guess for now and we'll have the suspense, but we're just going to do that. So when we'll get to news and we'll do some general discussion to talk off. So, and then dog involved too. He'll be taking one side. So, Owen, welcome back. What have you been watching lately? What have you been up to? How's everything going?
That was my dog. I swear to God, she doesn't bark until we start recording. It's amazing.
Yeah, but we were talking for a half an hour.
No man. That's what all dogs do.
I love her to death. But what'd you ask? What movies have I been watching?
Sure. Why not?
One, I can't believe it's been 7 years since that show ended. Jeez.
Yes. You know,
okay, so I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I've been recommending a lot to the Distraction Podcast. And I'm watching a lot of movies, and pretty much all of them that I'm watching are, in my opinion, really solid movies. Since it's around Halloween, I'm going to give just pretty much just scary movies right now, or like kind of in that realm. So there's Creep. It's on Netflix. It's called Creep. There's also a Creep 2. I watched both of them. I think you should watch both, especially if you like the first one. It's kind of like a found footage type of movie where it's like all someone's holding a camera type of thing. But it starts off effectively. This guy is like, how much do you want me to summarize? Do you want me to go into a lot of detail?
30-second summary.
30-second summary. Guy hires a guy to film him for like his birthday or something like that. And you slowly realize that this guy is a freak. He's a weirdo and he's possibly a serial killer. And it's really well shot. It's also got one of the guys from the League. I forget what his name is, but he's like the main guy. And the other one, or the other two, American Murder, The Family Next Door. It's a documentary. It's about a murder that happened to, it's in the title, so I'm not giving anything
away. Two girls, right, or something like that, or daughters?
So it was technically four. Shanann Watts, her two daughters, and she was pregnant at the time. I think she was like in her second trimester.
Did you see, there's a clip online, because I haven't seen it yet. There's a clip online, in the like a left corner where there's like the kids' room or something like that, and there's like a ghost of a girl that passes through the door really quick. And I don't know if that was caught by someone just at home or was meant to be in the actual show. Did you know what I'm talking about at all? Have they seen any ghosts in the shot?
So I didn't see any. If they don't like talk about it in the documentary at all, it's like, the ghost is not a part of it at all. If someone did catch it, that's completely like a, you know, an after the fact thing. And I might have to, I'm going to look it up. That's interesting. But a 30-second summary on that. So Jan Watts, her two daughters, and she was pregnant. They go missing. This is August 2018, I believe. And like they're invested, like, hey, where is she? Blah, blah, blah. I think she was like, she had been gone for a little bit and then she flew back in. And then like the husband gets home and he's like, I wonder where she could have gone. Like we kind of gotten into an argument, maybe like, yada, yada, yada. And then it just, you're in for a ride and it just slowly progresses into like you finding out a little bit more and more information. And it's really sad. And also just, what I found most, I don't know, like chilling, I guess is the right word, is she, Shanann Watts, she was very active on social media. So the entire documentary is using like actual footage from either her like Facebook live feeds or her Facebook posts, her Facebook comments, all her texts, all her calls. So it's like you get a really good sense of everything that went on, who this person was. And yeah, it's really well done.
Is it a docu-series or is it one little movie kind of thing?
It's just one. I think it's like an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes or something like that. And it's just, it was one of those, so like as I was watching it, I was like, wow, that's really messed up. But I was thinking about it later and just how like it stayed with me. I'm like, God, this is really freaking disturbing. And like, it's not going to like give you nightmares or anything. I don't think it's just,
maybe
I don't know. It's just very, especially with it being around Halloween, I think it's a good time. And, you know, I feel bad for the family, but, you know, I'm glad that they allowed this to be made because I think it promotes awareness for that kind of thing.
Yep. October is the time for murder. So, and you have one more for us, right?
Another one. So I think about half of you will like it. I don't recommend this to,
there's only three of us. Half of us.
Yeah. So The Perfection. It's about. Okay. It was probably one of the most messed up movies I've ever seen. But like it was also like the most unique movie I've ever seen. I thought it was really. I don't even know how to summarize it. There, it's a lot of cellos involved. So if you like cellos, that's good. It's got just watch it. Just watch and you'll see. It's too much
So Patricia, what have you been watching as well, just to kind of give us a, I think last time we talked, the one show you recommended me, I think the Flower show I watched, I'm trying to think what other shows you recommend, but you gave me some, and then the Acrobat show where they do the, all the countries do all the competitions, that one I watched too. So I watched two of yours.
Yeah.
I need to get Owen's
recommendation. Those are both really good ones. We've been loving those competition shows, but I don't know. I've been watching a mix of things now. I binge watched Woke on Hulu, which was really good, but I felt like some of the jokes that they made were maybe not as, I don't know. I don't want to give too much criticism of it because I really liked it. No, I mean, they were appropriate, but it was like, I felt like they were trying to delve into some deeper themes, but the way that they were doing it was basically just in a very shallow, like skimming the surface way. So I don't know if they're going to delve more into some deeper issues on race in the second season, if it gets renewed, or if they're just going to try to keep it light and continue to market it as like a light comedy, but it's really good. The guys in it do a really good job. And so reason, I would recommend it.
I love the cast. Yeah. So I'm one of the cast. It's Lamorne Morris from New Girl, Blake Anderson from Workaholics, got JB Smoove. So they have a good cast of people that I like. So how many episodes was it? Was it pretty easy to watch like in a day? Did it take a week?
I think I watched it over like, it's a work week. I'd like put it on when I was eating dinner and I was able to finish it. I think it's something like 8 episodes, maybe. It wasn't super long, but that was a good one. What else did I watch? I watched Charlie Kaufman's new movie, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. So he's the guy who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Being John Malkovich and Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. And so I love a lot of Charlie Kaufman's movies. This one was very odd, like a lot of his movies. I don't know how to summarize it without giving too much away. The trailer for it is really good. If you've seen the trailer, it's sort of a good spooky-ish movie to watch during spooky season for people who don't really like spooky movies, because it's more of like a thriller than a spooky movie, and it's kind of one that you have to watch more than one time. But it was really well done too. And Breaking Bad, shout out, it has Jesse Plemons in it. He's the main character and he's in the final seasons of Breaking Bad as well. Mm-hmm, and I always forget his character's name, but he's basically the one who prison, Jesse, and he's super weird.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember his name either. We're definitely going to get a refresher when we get to it later. His name is Todd in the show.
Right, yeah. Oh, his name's Todd? Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, Jesse Plemons in this movie. It was really good. It's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it without giving too much away. It's like a psychological thriller, though.
Yeah, pretty much watch the trailer, you'll get it for the most part. And it got an 80% around, 81% around Tomatoes. So it is somewhat liked by the audience or critics, whoever score I'm looking up right now.
Right, yeah. What else I watched? I watched The Duchess with Katherine Ryan. She's like a Canadian comedic, but she's really big on a lot of British panel shows that me and Tim like to watch. And so she had her own show on Netflix that just came out in September. And I liked it. I binge watched the whole thing, but honestly, I expected a little bit more out of it. I really liked the characters, but I feel like sometimes her character annoyed me a little bit.
That's fair.
But it was funny and it was really cute. And I like Katherine Ryan, so I'm going to stand by it and watch the next season if they do a second season. But besides that, we've just been watching a lot of British panel shows. So if you guys have never watched any of them, which it kind of occurred to me that Tim had never seen these when I like put them on one day. So we've been kind of like binge watching a lot of them. I don't know if you can say binge watching because we're not really just like there's so many of them. We're not going to go back and start from the beginning, but we're just kind of watching them here and there. And three of our favorites are Would I Lie to You, Taskmaster, and 8 out of 10 Cats as Countdown. And so they're all sort of these like competition shows, but everyone that they bring on to compete is a comedian or a celebrity of some kind.
Yeah.
And so it's always super funny. It's a lot of British comedians, but occasionally they'll bring in other people as well. But like Would I Lie to You is sort of like there's two panels and each panel has three people and they have to go back and forth and read off these lies and try to pass them off as truths to the other team. And then the teams basically get to go back and forth and ask questions. And it usually devolves into like some ridiculous situation.
sounds like Among Us that's people playing a lot. So right. Popular, but no, that's a good list. And yeah, two different, like the British show, my sister tried to get me to watch too. So definitely, I like the competition idea of it. I like the comedians being involved. So definitely someone on my list that'll add on there, as well as some American Murder, The Family Next Door will be on my list as well. So please hold me to that to watch that. On my list, the only one I have is Saturday Night Live with Chris Rock hosting. Obviously, they were overblown with COVID/politics in all the comedic skits. I thought Jim Carrey did a great job as Joe Biden. And so it was, I think it was overall a good episode. It's not as funny because it's just so realistic now with everything going on and super serious, but they still did a good job of keeping it light. So I thought that did a good job. We'll do an SNL episode in the future. Just kind of going over the future of SNL and what it's about. But I think they have a good cast still. I'm excited for what it has to come this season. Patricia or Owen, do you guys watch SNL? Do you like it? What's your kind of thoughts on SNL?
So I do watch SNL. And sorry, strong opinions about this week.
It's all you.
I'm really glad that they brought Kate McKinnon back because that is one of the main reasons that I watch SNL. I agree that I think Jim Carrey did a really good job as Joe Biden this week. But honestly, I think that they had so much material that they didn't use just in pop culture and in politics. And I was overall disappointed with the episode. Go on.
No, that was my first thought because like when Chris Rock did his monologue and the show was going on, I'm like, this is the first episode. You can use any joke you want to. I didn't feel like they ever went to a spot where they used all their material. So I was like, as the first episode, you kind of got to use it all because the second person has to kind of, you know, go off that of what they use and try not to use the same jokes. But they didn't use their whole joke bag, I feel like, at the end of it.
I feel the same way. And yeah. We watched SNL after we watched the South Park pandemic special last week.
Yes,
and I think I just expected them to do a lot more given everything that's happening, because the South Park pandemic special was hilarious. And I just had high expectations, I guess. So
yeah. Owen, what did you think? SNL fan, what do you think?
So overall, like, I haven't watched SNL in probably years. Like, I might have seen like a clip or two of some of like their bigger ones, but I don't know. It's, you know, it's been downhill for a while. It's not that great. It's really not.
I felt it was on the up and up for the last couple of years.
I suppose I've never heard anyone like on the street be like, "Hey, did you catch that new SNL skit?" Like ever in like the last like 5 years. And I'm not saying like that's a judge of a good show. It's just a lot of times like you'll hear it or you hear someone like referencing it. I just never do. So
yeah, I don't hate that.
There's that. I really want to see that South Park episode. That sounds good.
Yes.
SNL. So I think part of the problem is like everyone is so like afraid, like, oh, should we go there? I don't know if we should go there, because a lot of people are like afraid of like either stepping on toes or getting canceled by people. So I think that just leads to a lot of mediocrity as opposed to like some true brilliance. And I think that's kind of what's happening in comedy in general. So like anybody, like no one's like afraid, like, oh, am I going to go there? Am I going to do like this crazy bit? It's like, oh no, I don't want to offend anybody, or I don't want to step on the wrong toes. So like, rather than just doing and like expressing themselves, they're like, oh, I better not say this. It's like, you're a comic. That's kind of what you're supposed to do. At least that's what they, you know, history have typically done. They push the boundaries. They make people ask questions and like, oh yeah, this is kind of silly that we're feeling this way.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know.
No, I totally get that. South Park definitely went there this week with some things I thought were very edgy. I'm like, holy crap, they're doing this right now.
That's why I love South Park so much. They make fun of everyone and everything, including themselves. And that's why I love it.
It was wild. There were some things I'm like, I don't know why they're doing this right now, but I kind of love it for the fact that I'm laughing my butt off right now. So, well, I'll probably talk more about South Park 2 next week, but it was just a great episode. And I don't know how to not spoil South Park, but it's only a special, so it's not like I'm ruining the movie, but it was really well done. I'm all about South Park integrity weed. Well, we're going to move on to you.
And now it's time for news.
Of course, no one can see this news program, so it doesn't really matter what we say.
And we're not talking about Huey Lewis in the news.
But I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
We're talking about facts.
You can't handle the truth.
First, I just want to kind of go over some, been a lot of delays for the news. And so I'm just going to go over that, and then we'll talk about the trailers and go from there. So first, Dune has been delayed from December 18th of this year to October 1st, 2021. And subsequently, great word, The Batman will be delayed from October 1st, 2021, since Dune stole their date. Now they're going back to March 2022. And then Black Adam, who is with The Rock, which was supposed to be in 2021, has no immediate future for release date. Then lastly, James Bond movie No Time to Die has been delayed to April 2021. That's just kind of news for that. But we're here to talk about trailers if anyone's watched it. We have the new Borat trailer. This Borat, I don't know what else to explain it like. Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds. And then we have The Witches with Anne Hathaway. Did any of you guys watch any of these, or any stick out to you?
I'll go first. So Borat, what's really weird is literally like last week I was talking to Melinda about like, I'm like, about how like the first movie, like what was the first movie you saw in theaters that was like, you thought was really, really funny. Yeah. And it was Borat. I remember Borat was like, I think I snuck into it cause I was under 17 at the time.
Nice.
And it was just, I'm such a rebel. And it was that. And I think for me, like Jackass 2, like those were like the two movies I just remember laughing hysterically in the theaters, like nonstop. And I couldn't stop. And then literally like 3 days later, I saw like, I think it was on Instagram. There was like, it's like, oh, Borat 2. I'm like, are you for real? And so, yeah, I watched most of it. I think I got to the part in the trailer where he's like, he's talking to the doctor about like with his, you know, his apparent daughter. And it's like, oh yes, I put the child in her or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you ever done that to your daughter? He's like, no, I have not. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I really hope it's not bad, because like that's the thing that's like maybe this should have just been a one movie type of thing. However, Sacha Baron Cohen is pretty awesome. So I think it'll be fine. I don't think it'll be as good as the first one, but it'll be solid.
Correct. This one's definitely more focused on the pandemic as well as politics. And it's Borat, though. Borat, I think the voice itself, the general jokes he makes, is still going to be on key from this first movie. So I think it still will be very good. Then it comes out October 22nd, so it comes out pretty recently. Patricia, any of these three trailers stick out to you at all?
I don't even remember what trailers you just mentioned. I didn't even know that there was a new Borat trailer. But I did see the Sacha Baron Cohen trailer on the Chicago 7 movie that's coming out. And that one's good. So that's my comment on that.
There you go. So, and then now it's my turn. And no, Jordan, interrupt me. So suck it, Jordan. The Free Guy trailer stood out to me with Ryan Reynolds. So pretty much he's stuck in he is a video game character, but he's like in real life in the video game. So he has these feelings. He goes through life in this video game, and the people that are playing the video games find out that he has kind of like real life feelings and are playing video games with Ryan Reynolds and trying to save him in the video game. It's pretty like weird, but it generally has a good theme to it. I like it, and I'm interested to watch it. So that's the one I kind of like, and I'm curious how well it'll be done. Anything Ryan Reynolds does, though, I love him. Jordan loves him even more, so I'm sure Jordan that'll be on top of his list.
He is also a man crush of mine, so don't worry, you're not alone. He's not only is he funny, but damn, he's pretty handsome. It's you can't beat it. It's not fair. Good for him.
He's pretty damn handsome. He's got a pretty good mic. So Free Guy trailer, then The Witches with Anne Hathaway. Check it out. But it's time for our main event, so we're going to pause for an ad, and then we're going to get to our Breaking Bad discussion. All right, and we are in discussion, but Patricia did point out something to me that we missed one news thing that she wanted to mention. So, Patricia, let's shout it out. What do we have last in our news?
Okay, so not a trailer yet, but Steven Soderbergh's new heist movie is coming out with an all-star cast, and Brendan Fraser is going to be returning to the big screen, and I couldn't be more stoked. But also,
yes,
Noah Jupe from A Quiet Place and Honey Boy, and I think some other people like David Harbour and maybe like John Hamm and Don Cheadle, or I don't know. It's got an all-star cast. It's called No Sudden Move. So
No Sudden Move.
I don't know when they start filming it. It's going to be for HBO Max.
Nice.
All right.
That's awesome.
Brent, yeah, Owen was awesome. Loving that. They started talking about it off screen. I'm like, please save this for air because Owen was getting excited. But we have you guys agree on something right now, but we need you guys to disagree because this is our Breaking Bad discussion. And both of you were kind of in the didn't know what's going on. So you guys aren't really like enemies at this point, but pretty much where it started from, I think a month ago, Patricia might have said that Breaking Bad wasn't like on the top of her list. Owen, for him, is one of his top shows of all time. So we're kind of going to break that down of the negatives and positives of Breaking Bad. And once again, the reason for this was September 29th was the finale day of the 7-year anniversary. We're just 1 week behind that anniversary date, so that's the reason for bringing it up. So I want to start with Owen first. Owen, because this is one of your top TV shows of all time. Where does it rank for you if you do have a ranking for it, as well as when did you watch it? Was it a binge from like season 4? Did you watch from the season 1 when it first aired? What was your Breaking Bad watching experience like?
That is an outstanding question. Where do I start?
It all started in 1977.
So for me, it is my number one show. For a while there, it was Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad were neck and neck, and then the atrocity that was season 8 happened, and it can go to fucking hell. It is my favorite show. I know it's not Patricia's, but it just, for me, it hits like everything that I like. I love the character development.
I know we're gonna
get into it. So how did I start watching? So my dad started watching it from like the very first episode. And I remember like he would watch it like literally like every week. And I remember being like, is that Hal from Malcolm in the Middle? Like, I remember seeing there was a trailer where like, they're like, oh, on last week's previous episode of Breaking Bad. And it shows him like strangling a crazy eight with like the bike lock or whatever. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, holy shit, Hal's crazy. And I remember watching it. I still didn't watch it. then like I think like a few years passed because I think there was like a really long break between seasons one and two. So I think this was like junior year of high school. Then like a year or so passed, and then I was home from college, freshman year of college, like during I think the winter or something like that. Maybe it was summer, but I remember like my dad was watching the episode. So I'm just full spoilers. So it was, I believe it was Half Measure, and it's where Walt hits the two drug dealers with his car and then shoots them. And I remember I was watching that with my dad, and I was like, what is this? And it just, it captured me. And then especially when he's like, run. I was like, I need to watch this show right now. So I think I went, I think I bought like the first season, like the first two seasons on like DVD or something. Cause
love that.
You know, this is back in like 2011.
I was going to say, yeah, that's the way you want stuff now.
I was working a summer job, like this office, like bullshit mailroom job. I was working like 40 hours a week, which at the time was like, oh my God, this is a lot of work. Now it's nothing. But anyway, so I would just like get home at like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. And then I'd just like watch an episode or two. And then I got to the first three seasons because my dad had recorded all of season three on like DVR or whatever. And then I finished like right at the end of summer. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for the fourth season to come out. And I was trying to get everyone to watch it, trying to watch the show. And I remember, I think the fourth season aired in like the summer of 2011. And it was the box cutter episode. And I remember there's a bunch of people over at the house we live in, or the apartment we lived in sophomore year. We call it the party mansion. So there's a bunch of us dudes, and like everyone's kind of talking, and I'm just like intensely watching the TV, like, get the fuck out of here. Let me watch this. And it was the box cutter episode. So everyone's watching, and like, when Gus is slitting whatever, I forget his name's throat, and it was just like, they're like, whoa, this show was nuts. So like I think that got a couple of people to watch the show, but that was kind of my viewing experience. Then it was just like week by week, and yeah. I think by like middle of season four, I was usually watching almost every episode like once or twice, just because, you know,
that. Al Nerd Al, when he watches like Star Wars, he'll go to the movie theater like five times in one week to like really it's ridiculous. But I do like the idea of watching twice. So Patricia, what was your viewing experience like for Breaking Bad? I think it started recently or something like that, or you ended just not too long ago.
Yeah, sort of. So I had attempted to watch Breaking Bad in 2015 after the final season wrapped on television. And I had heard it was really good and had sort of just not watched it to spite people who were telling me to watch it.
Yeah.
But then after it wrapped, I was like, okay, well, now I can binge watch it. So I'm going to watch it. And actually, that was when I had moved out of state. And me and Tim used to get on Google Hangouts and watch it together on Netflix because he had already seen it.
Yeah.
And so we got to, I made it as far as the fly episode and I just gave up.
Yeah, that episode is pretty bad. I'll be honest. It's the worst Breaking Bad episode.
Like that episode. Really? I thought that was some people's favorite episode.
No, because
they're morons, in my opinion. It's still, okay. I like it, but it's by far the worst overall episode. So, mostly because of the first 20 minutes.
I'll tell you this. The fly episode is, there's a name or theme for it, where they're in a room for one episode or for a room for the whole episode. We did talk about this for a second. I can't name it. Jordan would know it because he's the nerd.
The bottle episode.
Thank you, Owen. Appreciate that. They said it's one of the better bottle episodes of all time. So I would stick to it. It's like,
okay. When
we look at bottled episodes, Breaking Bad is one of the top ones there for the fly episode.
That's shocking. I would think it would be the 9 days out episode where like there's, or 4 days out, excuse me. It's episode 9 of season 2. I didn't remember that.
I love it. But let's get back to
the sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what the moderator's here for. I'm trying to do my job better than the other guy that did it. So yeah, you started it. You couldn't finish it. Did you pick back up on it then and finish the show?
Yeah. So basically, I just chose not to finish it the first time. I just wasn't into it. It was moving so slow for me, and it was, I wasn't invested in any of the characters, which made it very hard to want to come home and watch it for an hour. So basically I didn't pick it up until this past summer, in 2020 again. So it took me 5 more years to come back to it. And it was because you guys were saying it's in basically everyone's top 5 shows, and that I felt like I should at least watch it so I can understand what everyone's experiencing. And I actually went to my mom and was like, oh my gosh, do you guys, this Breaking Bad show is just so terrible. And she's like, what? It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Me and her have very similar taste in things. And so I was like, okay, well, I better like at least try to watch it. So I started it from mostly the beginning again and almost gave up at the same time, but I pushed through for you guys. And
thank you. At least your mom has some sense.
I still didn't feel like I had the same problems this time, though, where I felt like I wasn't engaged with the characters. I didn't feel like the plot was developing in a way that I was satisfied with and that was keeping me engaged. And it wasn't actually until around like episode 9 or 10 in season 4 that I was like, okay, I'm in it now. I'm going to finish it. This is a really good show. But then it dipped down again for me in season 5. So I was like, what the heck? So I don't know. I rode a roller coaster with Breaking Bad, and I finished it, and I'm glad I finished it. And by the time I got to like El Camino, I was like having Breaking Bad dreams. But like, it is not a show that I'm compelled to go back and rewatch, and it does not make my top 5 shows or maybe even my top 10 shows.
Yeah. And I do appreciate most people who kind of lose that, you know, effort for it, stop watching. The props to you to, like, for the fact that it was such a recommended show of people, you finished it out. So that's props to you just for finishing it first, so you didn't like, and still kind of found ways to enjoy it even without enjoying the character development. So my first thought process, we'll give each person 2 minutes. I'll try to keep this civilized, of character development, as well as like how, because character development's been a big part of the show, where you see a chemistry teacher turn into a meth person. You see Jesse turn from a street guy to a meth like expert. There's so much character development throughout the show. Were there any characters development that you didn't like, or were there characters that were annoying to you, or on the other side of it, characters that you love so much for their character development and how they progressed with the show? And we're going to start with Owen on this question.
So is the question the character development that I didn't like?
But either one.
Only that? So
you're on the side of the show being awesome. So I would say that you should be on the side of good character.
Yeah. So character development that I didn't like, maybe Walt Jr., just because he didn't really develop at all. Like, so that's probably one of like the few negatives I have. But as far as good character development, literally every single like main character. So, and what's great about the show is that it literally like tells you from the get go, like when Walter White is talking to his chemistry class, it's like chemistry is about change. And then also in that episode, he's talking about, oh my God, from, what are they called? It's like the reciprocal bonds or whatever. It's like, so it's like, it's the same thing. It's just that they're mirror images of one another. I'm going to have to look it up in a second, but it, effectively that's what he and Heisenberg were. They're the same thing, but they cause completely different drastic things like when you interact with them. So it's like this one, like basically could, he's like, for example, like this, like table salt is not a big deal, but fulminated mercury, which is also a crystal, which is what he uses in, I think it's episode 6 of the first season when he like explodes that shit on Tuco. It looks like meth. It's a crystal, but it does something completely different. So like they start out with that. Like they tell you like, hey, this is about change. And you go from a guy who it's like you feel bad for this guy. He's dying of cancer. He's like, you know, and you initially think, hey, he's just doing this for, you know, his family. He wants to provide for them. But as the story progresses, you learn that, hey, he was wronged out. Like he had like this potential $1 billion company and he's jaded from that. So really a bigger reason why he's doing all this. And that's why I think it's episode 4 or 5. You learn this. The bigger reason that he's doing this is for his own selfish reasons. He has to be the man. He has to be like, it's his fucking self, his self pride and his like, you know, he doesn't, yeah, he wants the money, but more than anything, he wants like the credit, and he wants to be like, yes, I am the fucking man. This is my empire. And he's like, he's trying to like trick himself and the rest of the world, be like, oh, I'm just doing this to help my family, but he's really doing it all for himself.
Yeah. So for him, his character, what do you think about him becoming from a protagonist to an antagonist throughout the show? Do you think he plays the villain? Do you think he is the villain of the show when it comes down to with his selfish, you know, reasons for doing everything?
That's what I think is brilliant about the show. So when you're first watching it, Vince Gilligan, the writer, he managed to like, at least for me, while you're watching it, he, at least the first time, he managed, like, you're rooting for this guy. And when I was rewatching it, it's like, holy shit, he is a monster. He's a piece of shit. But somehow, like, they made it so, like, you're kind of, like, always rooting for him to win. So, I obviously, he's the antagonist, but the way it's written and, like, just from where they started with this character and to where they go, like, you're still kind of like, oh, like, I still hope he somehow figures to make it out, at least initially. Yeah. But then when you rewatch it, you're like, oh God, he's really a piece of shit. Like, how could I, how could I have like rooted for this guy? So yeah. I think it's brilliantly done. And I could talk about this show for hours.
And we'll keep going, but I'll let Patricia talk. So Patricia, are there any characters that got on your nerve? I think there is a lot of annoying characters, which kind of makes the case for maybe not being a top five show. Are there any characters that stand out to you being annoying, or how they progress the show or degress the show? Anyone that sticks out to you?
Walt. Walt is one of the worst characters I've ever seen. And I respect Owen's opinion about how he enjoyed that sort of development that the writers sort of kept you wondering about him, but I didn't feel that way when I was watching the show, which probably explains why I wasn't as interested as other people. And I really related to this interview that I saw with Dean Norris, who plays Hank on the show, and he was interviewed on one of these late night shows. Now I don't remember if it was like Kimmel or Fallon or whatever, but they were like, oh, like, how did you feel filming this type of show where the antagonist is sort of, you have mixed feelings about him? And Dean Norris is like, what? Who had mixed feelings about him? And that's how I felt when I was watching that interview. I was like, thank you. Because Hank is such an awful person. And it was just so difficult to watch a show where, like, the character is given so many opportunities for redemption. And I guess I learned a lot about myself when I watched the show, because I learned that I don't appreciate these types of character arcs. Mm-hmm. I don't like to just see characters sort of devolve and take this path. And then all the characters that I love just getting shat on over and over again. And so it's like, oh my gosh, I almost stopped watching again when I hit that episode where he just lets Jane die. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like one of this a female character that I liked in this very heavily male dominated show with lots of annoying male characters. And it was like very frustrating. So I don't know that there was any character development that I really appreciated in the show. I mean, Jesse, obviously, I think that's the only one. Skinny Pete, maybe. I like Skinny Pete's character arc.
I think that the show
did. He didn't develop at all. Literally zero. He was the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He goes back.
So,
yeah, I think he was.
Owen, for you, any side characters that stay, like, there's so many good side characters in the show. If you could almost call them main characters. Like, there's Saul, there's Mike, there's Gus Fring, there's Todd. Like, there's so many good side characters in the show. Do you think that's what makes the show so great, is the side characters, or is it the main characters of Jesse and Walter White? What do you think about, like, and I think Skyler, as much as she's part of the show, and Walter White Jr., the most annoying characters probably, but they do have a role in the show as well.
I agree. And so I initially thought, I did think Skyler was annoying when I first watched it, but when you're rewatching, it's like, oh, you realize, like, she's actually the one who's looking out for the family. Like, actually, and like, who's actually doing everything for the family, as opposed to Walter, who's like really doing it for himself. Mm-hmm. Favorite side character. Oh my goodness. Probably. So Saul, I think the introduction of Saul's character, it's in season two. I think it's episode 9 when he's just like, they're like, hey, like, when you need a lawyer for this kind of stuff, you don't want a criminal lawyer. You want a criminal lawyer. And they're like, yeah, you got to go to this guy. He's like, why would I go to this office? And like when they're sitting in the waiting room, there's a bunch of just like people smoking weed, and it's just terrible. And just everything about his introduction and the actor, Bob Odenkirk, I thought he was fantastic, and just like the right amount of humor and just kind of like his attitude towards everything. He's like, hey, like you can't do that. It's against the law. But like, he knows he's being a piece of shit. And I would say him just, and he also develops a lot, because even by the end, initially Saul's like, oh, I'll do anything for, you know, for money basically. And by the end, like, he is like kind of being like, God, this is kind of messed up. And then he's like afraid of Walter. So I'd say Saul Goodman and Gus Fring. He is okay. A fucking badass, and I love it.
I can appreciate that. So, and Patricia, back to you, going on a different kind of more open subject and kind of a general question, is the general, the writers of the show, and then you said you got tired of the show, like, or when season 5 started, you didn't think you went slower, you kind of lost interest again. What did the writers do to lose your interest? Was it the slow storytelling? Was it not finishing a story? Was it a bad ending to a story? What was your general idea of this, the writers and the storytelling of the show?
I think overall, I was really happy with how they wrapped up the story. It's something about the intermediate bits of the story, like when they're trying to develop the plot and move between sort of more thrilling pieces, it just feels like there's almost too much downtime. And it's like some of the episodes, they try to bait you at the beginning with these very interesting, like they always have like a 5-minute segment at the beginning, and sometimes it's like completely unrelated to what's happening in the episode. And so that gets frustrating sometimes, because it's like you think, okay, now I have to be on the edge of my seat. Something exciting is going to happen. And I felt like it almost created too much suspense, and then the actual episode would let me down because there wasn't as much development as I expected from what they presented at the start of the episode. Yeah. So I think that's one of my biggest drawbacks on the show. And the same thing, I've noticed the same thing in Better Call Saul, because I agree with Owen that, like, obviously Saul Goodman was one of the best supporting characters, and the fact that he got a spinoff show is a testament to that. But I've had the same problem finishing his show, where I've gotten to the second to last season. I've been really engaged throughout, but I just feel like the plot is slowing down, and maybe they didn't really think about where they're gonna go with it. I mean, we know where it's gonna end up, but it's the same thing where there's so much downtime in between the actual interesting bits of the plot.
Yeah. And Owen, do you agree with that, or do you think that you were still just as interested in the middle episodes as far as the season finales go of each episode? Like, what did you feel about the middle of the episodes, the meat of the episodes and how they did?
So, like, initially I didn't like them as much as, like, obviously the big moments like Crawl Space, or, you know, where Walt's hitting them with the car, or, you know, the numerous things that happen. But now when I've rewatched it, I think 2 or 3 times now, and that's usually like every like a year or so. It's like, hey, I got to rewatch Breaking Bad. And
it's like a real commitment.
I love it. I don't know. It works for me. But what I love those episodes, like the quote unquote slower episodes, more, because what this show does, I think better than any other show I've seen, is they do tons of foreshadowing and tons of symbolism. Like, it's constant. Every single color that almost every single character wears in every single episode, it means something, and it's foreshadowing something. Like green, if they're wearing green, it's foreshadowing money. Like when Skylar, when she starts to get into the meth business, before she's starting to get it, she starts wearing green a lot, because she's like, huh, this money, like, Walt is, like, I know what he's doing is bad. However, he is making a lot of money, so it's showing that money is on her mind. And that's why when she's going to, like, her therapist or whatever, and she's talking, it's like, hey, like, you know, is it a, she asks, like, a question, like, hey, like, do I have to report him? Like, blah, blah, blah. So she's clearly thinking, like, hey, like, there are some benefits here. With the teddy bear, the fact that the teddy bear's face is half ripped off, and then Gus's face is blown half off, like two seasons later. The titles of the episodes give hints, like in season 2, like all the episodes in season 2 that start with like the gray beginning of like the teddy bear in the pool. If you take the title of each of those episodes, it says 747 down over ABQ. So like they're kind of like hinting the whole time, like, hey, there's going to be a plane that's a plane's about to crash over Albuquerque. So the way that they do, and then just for Jane dying, like throughout the season, like when Walt, there's a scene, I think in the episode, maybe the episode or the episode before, where his baby Holly, he like turns her on her side. He's like, oh, I don't want you to throw up. So, and you know, for Jane, he just like lets her sit there. So they do tons of like little things like that. And just the conversations and character development that that show has, like, I love it so much. And they even have like random things in the background sometimes that like kind of like foreshadow what's going to happen. And to me, as like a Breaking Bad nerd, I love that shit. And I love like the moments where it's like, you know, like I love the down moments, like just as much as like the big moments, if not more now than ever, because like you truly pay attention to those as opposed to just waiting for like the big finish.
Say, when you rewatch a show, like when I rewatch Lost, you really find that symbolism and the stuff, you know, in the middle of episodes that you wouldn't pick up the first time. So if you watched it once, I get it. You miss that kind of stuff, the symbolism that happens. But when you watch the second time, you're really looking for that stuff. And I can tell you definitely, you know, you, second or third time watching, you're going to find that stuff. You really, it's really going to show how well the show did. So I do appreciate that point. Patricia, for you, were there any things that they could have done differently that would have made you more interested? Or was it just done as it done, as it wasn't the show for me, for a top five at least?
I don't know. I appreciate that, like all the points that Owen's making. I think it's all the hallmarks of a really well-made show. I just think I'm a basic bitch in the sense that I require more stimulation.
I'm trying to take here, because obviously for me, Breaking Bad is right in the top five area for me. So, but I'm getting both sides of it where, you know, it's fair on each side. But Owen, like, for you as a fan of the show, your number one show, was there anything that they did that they could have done better in your mind? Or do you think, like, everything was nailed to what you were expecting in the show? Like, do you want to see more expansion on, like, the drug culture throughout with Gus Fring? Or was that – do you think, like, the general meth discussion was done right? I was trying to look at my negative of the show, and that's something that came up, like, more showing an epidemic of drugs in the country. What did you think about that?
So I think maybe they're covering this in Better Call Saul. I have watched it, but I wasn't watching it super closely. So I don't think they have covered it. I've only seen the first like three seasons, but I wanted to know more about Gus and his like original partner that gets shot. So what, another thing, rewatching it, I am 99% sure, and it doesn't matter, but I'm 99% sure that Gus was gay, and like that partner that Don Eladio shot was his lover that he like paid for college for, and that's why he's so upset. So I'm like 99% sure of that. So I really wanted to know more about them and kind of their background, because clearly, like, I'm pretty sure they were in love, and I wonder like what he did before, because he's like, hey, like, I like you, like, you're not in Chile anymore. Like, I know who you really are. And I don't think they really ever went that into it, and at least not in Breaking Bad. So that's like the one thing. And another thing is they should never have made El Camino. I thought it was fine. It's just, I thought Breaking Bad ended perfectly. It's probably, I don't think it's the best series finale of all time. It's probably like tied or second or something like that. But I thought it was a perfect ending. They should have just left it. And like, that's just me personally.
Yeah,
that was perfect.
I think that we did a good job of covering everything I wanted to cover. I didn't want to get too detailed, but Owen, you are full of details and information, which I love. This is more just a free discussion now. This kind of end up wrapping up what we're talking about. Owen, what's your final thoughts on being the best show of all time? Just kind of your last words.
Right now, for me, it's the best show of all time, simply for the fact that so. Originally, as I was watching it, I was watching it like, oh, what's going to happen next? How's Walt going to get out of this? But now it's like, as I'm rewatching it, just the amount of detail and character development, symbolism, that it, the angle that they shot, like their different shots, and just how like they slowly progressed the story and how believable, in my opinion, it was. And like, it's like, hey, like, and this is how this character got here, is just, it's remarkable. I think the music, the few times that there is music that is used, I think it's wonderful. It's just, oh God, like from beginning to end, the amount of character development, foreshadowing, symbolism, big moments, like those down moments make the big moments even better. So,
I love it.
In my opinion, the way that they do everything and the way it's written, and then the way they ended it, that like also the fact that each season is better than the one before it. I don't think you can say that about a lot of shows. Like, I remember in like after season three, I'm like, how is season four going to be better? It was better. And I'm like, okay, there's no way they're going to make each like season five. And first half of season five was amazing. And then the last eight episodes of season five were incredible. And I just got to get this out there. So for season five, I was away at Officer Cannon School in the Navy the entire like last eight episodes. I came back on September 14th. And I remember September 15th was the Ozymandias episode. It's still a 10 out of 10 on IMDb. I think it's like the highest ranked episode of television of all time. And I remember I was like hiding in my room at my house, in my parents' house, because my dad was watching it. I'm like, I don't want to know. I haven't seen any of season five episodes. I got to get caught up. And I remember my dad just like, he walked up the stairs once it was done and he looked at me and he was just like, he's like, holy shit. And then he went to bed. And then I watched like all of it, like the first six episodes, pretty much like the next day. I was like in, just in shock. It's that's why
it, I can tell
there's too much good to say about this.
The true passion.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Patricia, last words for you, your general thoughts on Breaking Bad and kind of wrap it up.
My general thoughts were that I'm still not convinced to add the show to my top five. I feel like it either really reels you in or it just annoys the shit out of you.
And, I'll be honest. I can see how it would annoy, because like there were times with Walter, like when I was like rewatching, I'm like, God, he's such a fuck. Yeah. Fuck this guy.
He's so
awesome. I feel you there.
I feel like his journey as the antagonist is too realistic. Like Owen's saying how, well, it's great that this story, like this, something like this could actually happen. And I just don't enjoy watching stories like that about antagonists like Walt. So I don't know that I have too much else to say about it other than I really liked a lot of the side stories that they played in the show. I like the spinoff. I liked El Camino probably better than watching the actual show. I'd probably go back and watch that 100 times. Ooh. So I don't know what that says.
That's a hot take.
That's
a hot take for sure.
But, that is a hot take.
Yeah, but generally, I thought both of you were awesome explaining both points. Screw Jordan. We didn't need him at all. You guys both awesome. I think that generally there's discussions on really like the, because I thought it was a top five show for me before I thought about how annoying some of the characters were. And a real quick story too of the finale on September 29th, 2013. It was my birthday. And
It
also was the first episode my dad watched. I'm like, hey, I'm watching this series for now. It's the last show episode ever. He's like, can I watch? I'm like, I guess you can. Like, it's the last episode ever. And he just watched the last episode ever. He's like, all right, I'll just watch it. And then he actually really liked the series finale and went up. They watched the marathon my parents did. So they really enjoyed the show afterwards, too. But very random to watch the last episode first. So,
yeah, especially because he looks nothing like he did in the rest of, like,
yeah, you're series. Getting a whole different story now. So, but
God, when that M60 just...
I love that. Oh, we talk about it forever. So we'll do shout outs really quick. So I'm going to start out with Patricia for shout outs. What do you got for me?
Shout out to Jesse Plemons for coming back in El Camino and acting like he didn't look completely different than when the season
got the 15 pounds added on there. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's because didn't he do Fargo and stuff? I don't know if he had to put on weight for that, but
Fat Todd. I remember
Fat Todd. I was like,
he looks like this is supposed to be in the past. Apparently, he gained a lot of weight in the 6 months Jesse was in that fucking cage.
Dude, they just owned it, and like everyone that came back in Better Call Saul, which was filmed like however many years after Breaking Bad actually wrapped, and was supposed to be like 10 to 15 years in the past, they're all like 15 years older.
There.
Shout out to all of them.
You got two more shout outs.
Oh, shout out to Brendan Fraser for making his comeback. Yeah. I'm super stoked. Hopefully he doesn't get wrapped up dealing with mummies since they just opened a new tomb in Egypt in real life and not in the movies. Double shout out to Brendan Fraser because I couldn't be more excited. And I'm going to go watch all the mummy movies now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what do you got for us? Three shout outs.
Shout out to Aaron Paul, who's playing Jesse Pinkman. Like, Jesse Pinkman's supposed to be 24 years old, I think, or 20. He's supposed to be really young, and like he looks like he's 40. And I think that's funny. Shout out to Vince Gilligan for being the writer of, in my opinion, the best show of all time, Breaking Bad. And shout out to Melinda, my wife. She had, like, we just moved to a new area, and I've been working a lot, so she's been kind of having to do all the home stuff by herself, and she's crushing it. So I love her, and yeah, that's all I got. And shout out to you for having me on.
Yes, and I want to say, yeah, my shout-outs are going to Owen and Patricia for coming on. It's my first episode without a co-host, so I was a little nervous. You guys made it easy for me, if you guys, you know, taking a debate for me, so I appreciate that. And last shout-out to Jordan for getting the night off and letting me do all the work, so I appreciate it. I like doing, you know, carrying the team on this one. I'm LeBron James tonight, so like we say every episode.
Whichever way you look at it.
Yes, like we say every episode. Bye, Jordan.
Bye, Jordan.
Bye.
Bye, Jordan.
Goodbye, everybody. Guess what? I was secretly an undercover rock star this whole time.
You can subscribe to Distraction anywhere podcasts are found. Make sure you leave a review. Our voiceover guy still isn't getting paid. Wait, I'm not?
You just lost the left. You lost the left.